In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Today, the reading is of the church has chosen to us is it's a very scary reading. The church, in her wisdom, is very, very intentional in the kinds of readings that she chooses for us at any given times of the year. As we all know, in the last couple of Sundays, We learned about the parable of the sower, and we kept hearing how we need to be good soil, and the good soil is those who hear the word of God and keep the word of God and apply the word of God and bear fruit based on the word of God that they heard. The church continues, okay, now that you've learned, you know, that you need to hear and apply and bear fruit, then the church chooses this reading for us today at the beginning of the Great Fast. And it's very interesting, the very last verse of the reading, it's a very scary statement. It bears a lot of meaning, where our Lord Jesus Christ said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That statement has pretty much two main meanings. First of all, that what I just said, or what I'm about to say, is extremely important. Pay attention. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then the second thing, it's also a warning. The statement that I just told you, or what I'm about to tell you, is a warning. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The result is based on your choices, and the consequences is on my shoulders. It's on my head, okay? So I'm giving you the warning. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. If you would bear with me, I'd like to take just maybe 4 minutes or 5 minutes to look a little bit back in Luke chapter 14, which is this reading is at the end of Luke chapter 14. Just like to go for a few minutes to look at how our Lord just methodically and like step by step got the people to tell them this very scary statement. Initially, he's just getting the people to think about some things, okay? He's telling them, okay, when you're invited to a wedding, don't go sit in the front. Don't seek the best places, just, you know, lest they ask you to go sit back. Go sit in the back, and then maybe if there's room, they move you forward. And so he's getting the people to think, okay, do I seek for myself the best places? If I come, you know, to church and I'm at the parking lot, do I will seek the best parking spot? If I'm you know, at church, at the banquet hall, and there's a buffet, do I always try to choose a seat next to the buffet somewhere so I can be first in line? Or things like that. Just the very simple questions for us Christians, we need to think, do I always seek the best for myself? Sometimes it just comes to us so naturally that, yeah, I want this. This is the best. It's obvious. It's the closest. This is the easiest for me and most convenient. And just wants to get us in the mentality of, okay, love does not always seek its own, does not always seek the best. And then he takes it up another notch, and he tells them, okay, do not invite friends or relatives or rich neighbors, those who can invite you back. He's trying to get the people to start thinking about eternity and eternal life. Don't just be focused on today. He told them, invite those who cannot repay you, and you will be blessed and repaid at the resurrection of the just. He's getting the people to start thinking about the second, more eternal life, okay? So it makes me to ask myself this question, okay, do I show partiality? Do I tell my wife, say, honey, this family in church is very well-respected, they're well-off, they're very well-known, everybody likes them. Let's invite them to dinner. Let's start spending more time with them. Call them. Maybe they can bring the kids to play with our kids so we can become closer friends to them. Or maybe if there's another family who just come quietly and leave, who are not well-off, who are not, you know, cannot do anything or are maybe boring people. And I say, no, let's not try to get too involved with them. We'll just say hi and maybe talk about the weather a little bit and about politics when we see them at church, and we'll end it at that. So do I show partiality when dealing with anybody in my life? And then he takes it up yet another notch, and he talks to them about the parable that we all know of the Great Supper, when the great master invited all the guests to the Great Supper. And then everybody started coming up with an excuse, and some told him, I just bought a piece of land. Some told him, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to take care of them. Somebody told him, I just got married and I have a new wife. Please excuse me. And then what did he do? He got angry and he sent his servants to say, okay, forget those guys. Go out and invite instead the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Who are the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind? They're basically people who chances are they don't have a job to distract them because they're, you know, poor, lame, maimed, or blind, who aren't able to maybe get married, who aren't too occupied with all these distractions that are keeping them from their great supper. Somebody whose chances are will say yes, who's going to be, wow, you're inviting me? I'm the poor, the maimed, the blind. Oh, you bet I will come. I'll come early. I'm going to be there at that invitation. Thank you so much for inviting me and including me. So this brings us to another tougher question. Okay. Do I sometimes give any other things or people in my life priority over God? Do I sometimes choose to maybe take the family on some vacation, or some other family asked us to go on this fishing trip on the weekend, and okay, let's skip church this time? Or maybe do I let my kids, because they're busy studying or whatnot, or have some extracurricular activity for school, and I'm okay with them not going to church or not going to Sunday school or not going to church activities. Even worse, do I sometimes choose not to come to church because there's this good movie on TV that I don't want to miss, or I want to watch this game, or just simply because I'm kind of tired and I don't feel like going to church today? Not just going to the house of God, being invited to the great supper, but just in general doing whatever it is God wants us to do. Do I sometimes choose anything else or anyone else before God? What is the lesson that I'm teaching my kids as parents when I'm choosing those things? Without telling them a word, they are walking camcorders. They see all my choices and they learn, okay, going to church is good, it's important, but if things are busy, if I'm tired, if I have some cleaning to do, if I have some stuff to do, it's okay. We'll do that first. And it's a difficult thing to not, because this is what we see. This is our world. This is our life. This is our future. Okay, it's very important for the kids to take care of school and focus on their future, which is true, but this is not really our future or our life. It's a drop in an ocean that's a drop in another ocean. Okay, we need to focus more on eternity and life. I fear sometimes growing up in the Orthodox Church, if I am like a child born in a palace, a child born of the biggest king in the area, I am a Coptic Orthodox. I have the biggest, most church, you know, all the treasures, you know, are at my fingertips. When somebody asks me, yes, I'm Coptic Orthodox, 2,000 years, we've been evangelized, you know, in Egypt by St. Mark, and I'm so proud and I feel so rich and so happy because I belong to here. And then I wonder if maybe our Lord will someday tell me what he told to the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation, those who think that they're rich, and he tells them, you're not rich, you're poor, naked, blind, and wretched, and I want to throw you up because you are lukewarm. So it's a little bit of a scary thought to not rely on actually being a member of this church. So now he's taken it up a notch, and then another notch, and then another notch. And now we come to today's reading. And today's reading starts with something very delightful, very positive. It starts with what it says, great multitudes went with him. And this is wonderful. We're all around Jesus. Everybody's, you know, happy. It's great fellowship. And then our Lord Jesus Christ shocks the whole system with a very scary statement. And he goes, what? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sister, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. God, what happened? You know, we were all happy, walking together, everything was good and positive. Why ruin all the fun with something like this? Hate my family and my life, even my own life. And if you think about it, why did God do this? Well, why did all of a sudden great multitudes around him? Lord, you should be happy with where your flock, where around you. Why do this? And if we think about it, what is our Lord's purpose? What is his goal for us ever since creation, ever since the fall? It's our salvation. He's not satisfied with just a bunch of people coming over and you know, being happy around him. He wants to know, you know, he wants me to ask myself, why do I do what I do? He wants us to know, is okay, am I just following the herd? This is what everybody and all my friends and people I know come to church on Sunday, so that's what we do. This is what the good Christian should do, is to serve and to do this and that. So I'm just following the herd and do those things. No, he wants us to know why we're doing what we're doing. A friend of ours, yani a close acquaintance, he came from California to College Station. He's a USDA inspector. And he came to College Station to Texas A&M to get a certification. It's a one-month program to become a USDA investigator. And he told us all kinds of neat stories about what he sees in the field. You know, they inspect the plants or processing plants when there's a breakout of some bacteria or E. coli or salmonella. And he told us that one of the most amazing scenes that he cannot always like get used to is when they're leading the entire flock to the slaughterhouse. How all they have to do is just lead the first animal, or one or two animals towards the slaughterhouse, and everyone else, all of them, just follow calmly, happily, following the flock, one by one, going into the slaughterhouse to their demise. And God does not want us to just come here to follow the flock, okay? He wants us to ask ourselves this question, am I following the flock? Or am I coming here because I have a very intimate personal relationship with God and I want to be with Him? Okay. What if no one else comes to church? Will I still come? What if it's just Abuna and a couple of deacons and that's it? Will I still be excited about coming or coming early and serving and all that stuff? Speaking of the church being intentional and wise in the selections of the readings, last Saturday, Abuna Pshoy comes to College Station and prays a liturgy about once a month. And the reading there was when our Lord asked the disciples and he told them, who do the people say that I am? And some said, John the Baptist or one of the prophets or something like that. And okay, great. And then what did he ask them? Who do you say that I am? Our Lord is asking me today and asking every one of us today, don't be satisfied. I don't care what everyone else says. Who am I to you? Who do you say I am? Do I know God enough personally to be able to explain to others or describe to others who my beloved is? Or am I just one of the flock, one of the herds, just following? Yes, there's great multitudes around me, but who do you say that I am? Let's look a little bit at just three verses that kind of give us an idea how just, you know, being one of the flock is not really a big deal. We look in Matthew in chapter 7, our Lord said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Don't be satisfied with just some coming over here and saying, Lord, Lord, and, you know, I praise you and worship you. And not everyone who says that will come to the kingdom of heaven. Also in Matthew, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, we came and we prayed and we raised dead people and we healed people all in your name. We did all these great things for you in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart away from me. Am I going to be one of those people thinking that everything is wonderful and great and I'm doing great things for God and I'm this awesome Christian and then one day I'm going to hear that statement, depart from me? I hope not. They're the very famous reading, in the midnight Agabeah prayers in Matthew 25, the five wise versions and the five foolish versions. Both groups, they came to meet the bridegroom. Both groups brought their lamps. Both groups stayed up late until the point where they were exhausted and they had to sleep. So until the point of the coming of the bridegroom, our Lord, up until this point, they all looked the same. Can't tell the wise from the foolish. Okay, it was at that point where they came in to go to the wedding and our Lord said, I don't know you. So we need to be careful. Am I just one of the flock? Or am I like the foolish versions or am I like the wise ones? In the reading, our Lord says, you know, it's very shocking, unless you hate your father and your mother and brother and sister. I'm like, God, hate them? I mean, of course our Lord doesn't mean hate them. I mean, it's the Bible is full of verses that say, honor your father and mother. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husband, children, parents. And the greatest commandment, love God. And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself, which includes loving the neighbor and loving myself too. So what is he saying here? It's maybe said a little bit clearly or more palatably in Matthew 10, where he said, what, he who loves father, mother, son, daughter, etc., work, money, income, family, rest, food, whatever you want to put in there, more than me is not worthy of me. After the Lord talked to the disciples, and you know, he asked them, who do you say I am? Later on, after his resurrection, and when he came to appear to them again at the Sea of Tiberias, okay, and he chose Saint Peter in order to redeem him and strengthen him again, and he got asked him a very, very hard question. And it's not just the question that's hard, but also the repetition of the question. He said, do you love me? If our Lord asks us today, do you love me? Oh, yes, of course, God, I love you. Yeah, I don't have to think about this one twice. No. Don't be so hasty to answer me. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. No. Do you love me? Our God is not just asking this question to St. Peter. He's asking him to each one of us. Do you love me? Do you love me? Our Lord also in the reading, we read in the Gospel of the sixth hour in Agbaya in Matthew 5, where he says, you are the salt of the earth. In today's reading, what did he tell them? He said, salt is good. Yeah, it's great to be salt. It's white, it's pure, it dissolves, it affects its surroundings, it adds flavor, it's self-sacrificial, just like the candle when you light it and it gives light and it serves. Okay, it's great to be salt, but don't be satisfied with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. Don't lose your flavor. And then he ends it with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That wonderful statement. That's a very scary statement. So our church today, at the beginning of the Great Fast, which has the Nativity Fast, which started, okay, wants us to think about some things before January 7th comes. Before I accept our Lord Jesus Christ as my King and I accept Him as my Lord and my Savior to come and rule over my heart. During this Great Fast, it's really a great, wonderful opportunity. And I think our Lord wants each one of us, He wants me to ask myself these three questions, okay? He's asking us these three questions. Are you just following the herd? Or in reality, are there other priorities that are more important than me? Who do you say that I am? And do you love me? Let us not be so hasty to answer these three questions and to actually take the coming month and a half or so to repeatedly ask ourselves these questions. Am I just following the herd? Who do I say he is? Who is he to me? And do I really, truly love him? To him may be due all glory, honor, and dominion forever. Amen.